Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I am joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, you know, man, making it happen. Well, it's the holiday season and most people are taking their feet off the gas, just over here grinding, right? And it's, as Ed Milet calls it, separation season. So what's going on in your world?
Josh, it's a little bit of the same thing. Every year there's a recurring theme, and it seems as if we get closer to the holidays, most people shut it down. Whereas we will be closing on a deal Thursday, tomorrow, on a 25 unit. We're getting a 21 unit under contract signed by the end of this week. We've got an offer accepted on a 10 unit. We've got a 13 unit accepted as well. We've got 40 units coming back to us, and we're looking at a 200 plus unit deal. So a lot of the stuff at the end of the year is where this is low hanging fruit. People shut down and this is a time to strike it. And it's amazing. We're looking at more deals now in the last month than we've looked at the last three or four. So don't discount working hard during the holidays.
Man, I love that. All right, so today I want to get to today's guest. We have Matt Dunn on the show. Matt transitioned to full-time multifamily real estate investing in July of 2020, following 16 years in the ultra luxury automotive business. He is the sole founder of Right Move Properties, specializing in acquisition and leasing of underperforming multifamily assets. So far, his company currently owns 76 multifamily units and has acquired $9.5 million in assets, with another 40 set to close by the time this airs. Without further ado, welcome to the show, my man, Matt.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Matt, my first question, what's your favorite luxury expensive vehicle? Because it's important for him to me.
That's true. Yeah. So I'm a super hypercar guy. So I'm going to say the McLaren P1.
But
I had the opportunity to drive one back when I was still working W2. So yeah, definitely a highlight.
And the reason why I ask everybody, Matt worked for Rolls-Royce for 16 years for a luxury brand. He knows about brands. Let me ask you off the cuff. Do you like the Bentley?
Bentley do a great product for sure. Yeah. I think I can give you a lot of information on Bentley because a lot of those dealerships were shared with Rolls-Royce actually. So definitely a good product.
Josh, I see a Bentley in my future, somewhere in my future. Don't know when, I don't know if I should pull the trigger. Every time I see the Bentley, it just evokes that image of just luxury and evokes an image of that great machine. And, we're talking about multifamily here. And the reason why I bring it up is Matt was in that industry for so long, his perception of working as a mechanic at Rolls-Royce. When did real estate and multifamily become the reality for you, Matt? When did you start thinking about it?
I started thinking about real estate when we started having kids. Mm-hmm. So we had our first daughter in 2016, and she was going through a lot of milestones, and I was beginning to miss them because my career had me traveling so much. So I was a Marriott Platinum for life, and it took me just a few years to get to that status, which is nothing to be proud of, which basically means you have to be in a Marriott 100 nights plus a year. So wow. I missed a lot of milestones. Yeah.
And why multifamily? Someone working for Rolls-Royce, not even ever getting to real estate. How did you go straight to multifamily?
Great question. So like a lot of other people, a few other people in the community, I came across a community called the FIRE community. And I had a situation that happened to me when I lived in the UK. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I owned a house here and I'm actually in the UK right now visiting family. We sold that house in 2015 and I came across a large chunk of capital as a result of selling that home. And for the first time in my life, I actually had extra funds to do something with. Prior to that, I was very much paycheck to paycheck. And honestly, I didn't have a clue what to do with that money. I was thinking, well, I'll just put it in a high interest savings account. And I was like, well, what do wealthy people do with money, right? So I just started researching how to deal with it. And real estate kept coming up. Mm-hmm. And as did this other concept of aggressively saving money through the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. And so we basically started doing that. We started aggressively saving money with the plan to retire from the dividends from mutual funds.
So financial independence, retire early. For those of us out there, did you want to retire early? It doesn't seem as if you wanted to retire. You retired maybe from your other job, but now you're creating this amazing business, this amazing entrepreneurial venture called multifamily. correct?
Correct. I did want to, though. That was my big why, actually. And mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll touch on that. But mm-hmm. yeah, my huge why was to exit the W-2, mainly because for me to move further up the ladder would involve me moving from the southeast of the States, which I loved, up into headquarters up in New Jersey. I really wanted to stay in my market in the southeast. That's where we were settled. And I was just missing so many things with the family milestones. It was a huge reason that I needed to figure out another source of income, right?
And when you said to your wife, I want to quit my job and do multifamily full-time, what was that conversation like?
It was difficult, for sure, I won't lie. You know, she was very much of a mindset of everyone goes to college. They, you know, they go get a career and you work till you're 65 and you live on those on your pension, right? Mm-hmm. So that was definitely something that was a shift for her. And it took a number of years once cash flow started to increase for her to really start to see the benefits of this business. And now she's actually phenomenal explaining the concept of real estate investing to others that we meet.
So Matt, does the conversation go something like this? Matt, what took you so long to get into real estate? That's normally what ends up happening, correct? I always tell the story of our maintenance tech back at MM4, Multifamily Mastery 4. Josh Tapp is sitting there and he says, I got to tell you a quick story. I invested in your deal, our deal, back in September of last year. He only put $6,000 in the deal. His wife was kicking and screaming, you can't put money in there. It's really risky. A year later, we refi the deal out. He gets his money back times three. And his wife turns to him and says, well, why didn't we invest more? And I always find that to be amazing. And for all the spouses out there, if your significant other is really locked in and that's their dream, and I'm sure Matt put a ton of work and a ton of effort into it, we need to have something called faith. Because when you go and look at all of other successful people, what they do is they really work hard at what they're striving to achieve. They have a plan, they have a goal, and they have a great vehicle. And I think, Matt, you encompassed a lot of those different areas with what you're achieving with multifamily. Why didn't you go into single family? Why did you skip single family and go right into multifamily?
Great question. Yeah, I know a lot of people that do really well with single family. Mm-hmm. And I was surrounded by a lot of them at the RIA meetings that I would go to. The reason I didn't go into single family, though, is because once you have a vacancy, you're 100% vacant. Mm-hmm. You know, the first property I purchased, you know, there was a opportunity to still have income, even with, you know, one or two vacancies, which was still covering debt service. So for me, that was the main reason.
Mm-hmm. And what were problems you were experiencing before you joined Jake and Gino?
Yeah, great question. So I would say it was accountability. There's a number of things, but accountability, I would go through a lot of peaks and troughs of enthusiasm. So for example, I'd like listen to a podcast or an attend an event. I get super excited. I make some moves. Then after a few weeks, I would kind of lose that momentum, you know. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be, you know, I lacked kind of clarity and focus. I was all over the map with deal flow. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. So I would be on LoopNet, for example, and I would just like hover over like four or five states looking for something that was in my price point. Mm-hmm. Not the way to do this at all. And I had no real deal criteria or a target market and didn't know how to even pick a target market. Another big thing would be I get to a point in a deal and I would stop because I wouldn't know who to ask the question. So for an example, maybe there was a zoning issue with the property or I had an assumable loan. I wouldn't understand what that even meant. And I would just stop moving forward. And the final thing I would say, I wasn't in the proximity of those doing the things I wanted to do to allow me to move forward and be surrounded by those people that are influential.
I wrote these notes down. I want everyone to write them down if you're listening to this, because it's important. The first piece is the accountability. And that's truly important, the ebbs and the flows. And I've been sharing this quote that Nir Eyal wrote in his book, Indistractable. It's our perception of who we are changes what we do. I think that when you join the Jake and Gino community, you're surrounded by multifamily investors in that community. All of a sudden, you're seeing what a multifamily investor does. You take the perception of that multifamily investor. You take that identity. And then all of a sudden, you're accountable. You're going to do what the multifamily investor does. You're going to underwrite deals. You're going to network. You're going to raise capital. That is a true amazing component. Investing in yourself, having skin in the game is truly important. The number two, which I think is crucial, it's the buy right criteria. All of a sudden, you're just not trying to buy everything and you're not trying to be everything to everybody. You have a certain criteria, whether it's the market, whether it's median income, whether it's the age of the asset, the cap rate, population growth, job growth, whatever it is specific to Matt Dunn, it's going to be different than it is for Joshua Rosen. Third one is the expertise. And I can share a story with both of you because on our third deal, I went through a very similar experience, a large asset. I had my mentor there with me every step of the way, holding my hand. It was a $4 million deal, a lot bigger than Gino, the pizza guy, could have ever done by himself. Jake was saying to me, Gino, we need to underwrite this deal. Bam, I had the underwriting over. Gino, I need a takeover checklist. Bam, I had it over. Gino, due diligence, had it over. Gino, I need a credibility book. I had it over. At one point, Jake says to me, where are you getting all this stuff? I said, my mentor, my coach. When I have a problem, just like you said, the assumable loan or the underwriting, or how do I get through due diligence? I was able to pick up that phone and ask somebody who has amazing amount of success. And that truly helped me and pulled me through that deal. I would not have been able to have completed that deal without a mentor. Proximity. Proximity is very important. We had Luke Wren at MM4 speaking, and that was, and I have the picture of Matt Dunn jumping up and hugging a guy that he didn't meet 10 minutes before. One of my favorite photographs of 2021. I love that picture. And it's proximity. It's the energy, right? You're coming to these events. You're meeting amazing people. You're locked in. Those relationships, those networking abilities, you have that with a community instead of being all by yourself. And that's really important. And I think the ebbs and flows is the last thing that I wrote down. Having those ebbs and flows and trying to stay constant is a struggle for a lot of us. And how do you do that? Well, when you start networking with others, you're putting yourself in proximity, seeing how high level people do it, you want to mirror what they're doing. So really, really great list. You mind jumping in to the 8-unit deal that you got down? Because 8 units may not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but it's a transformational deal. It's a legacy deal and is just the beginning. We call it the momentum effect.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this was a deal that was actually on LoopNet, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And it was listed in July. In fact, we were still cross country traveling in our RV. Story for another day, but we were in Kansas and this property popped up and I saw it and the photos were just a drone shot of the roof and that was it. And it was like, looked like one of those expired listings, you know, which LoopNet seems to have a lot of as well. But so I just reached out to the broker. It was in a market that was somewhat familiar with. And I already had some boots on the ground there. My mother-in-law lives just down the street from there. So it made a lot of sense. Reached out to the broker just asking for, you know, the financials on the deal. And he responded within half a day with the P&L, the rent roll. And it was available. I was kind of shocked, to be honest. There's no OM, there was no real description of the property. So I went through and it was self-managed as well. But the mom and pop owner actually had a tremendous, he was very organized. He had a lot of information on all the expenses and income, and it was very well managed. Mm-hmm. Just severely under market rents for the most part. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got into negotiations. I kind of floated a price to the broker and he said, yeah, absolutely, submit it. And I was, the ask was 995. I went in at 912, so good below low. But he told me to submit, so I did, and he counted at 950. We ended up going in contract at 925. And honestly, I think because there wasn't that many other eyes on the property, because it looked honestly like an expired listing. You know, there's only me and two other offers, in fact. And because I had the track record, you know, on every offer I submit, I always include my bio. I include a personalized letter to the seller. I have a list of all my team members. And, you know, Jake and Gino have some great resources on how to do all that. And I think that allowed me to stand out as being credible. I had all my financing already kind of set up. I'd already had discussions with two community banks leading up even to getting the offer in. So he had confidence I was going to be able to close it. So, yeah, I closed within 45 days with a local community bank in September.
So what I'm hearing, Josh and Matt, is that you did a lot of work on the front end. There's a lot of work to get to that point where you're starting to put in offers. You need to have the mindset that you're going to be able to do it, but you also need, and whether it's a one pager, whether it's a credibility book, you need to understand the analysis. You need to understand how to put in offers with brokers. Bo Beery is a great person in the community. He's a great broker in Florida. Check him out. And he talks about putting in the offers, being strong, being forthright, being transparent, and striking. 45 days is great. You already had the community bank relationships. What is the after effect of this deal? What does this deal look like right now once you're in the process of repositioning this deal?
Yeah, so it's fully occupied. The inspections went great. The actual owner was a commercial inspector as well, building inspector. So he'd replaced pretty much all the ACs, all the water heaters were less than 2 years old. Some of the roofs were 2 years old. So from a CapEx standpoint, it was really a amazing. They didn't really need anything. Mm-hmm. And the upside was just the rents. You know, him and his wife self-managed this property for 25 years, and they just didn't want to create any turnover. So they would keep people in. And some of these residents have been in this property for over 15 years.
Wow.
With an average of $300 lost to lease across those 8 units. So yeah, we were able to, we've just done 2 renewals actually within the last few weeks. And we've been able to increase $225 just from doing literally nothing, just from a renewal, because they were so low on the rents.
I should have asked this before, but why was this owner selling? And it sounds too good to be true, but go on LoopNet sometimes. Some of these listings, we don't only have mom and pop owners, we have mom and pop brokers as well. So we need to be aware of that.
That's what this was. So this was not a multifamily broker at all. He was mostly on the office retail side. Mm-hmm. And he actually was a personal friend of the seller. So that was the reason that, you know, it was listed to like that. The reason he was selling, honestly, he had it for so long. Mm-hmm. They were retiring and they wanted to do some more travel. They were quintessential working in the business, and they kind of got in their own way, honestly. You know, once we started understanding the way the property was being run and talking to the residents in person, they were thrilled. Actually, we were bringing in, you know, professional third party management, because, you know, the owner was there almost every other day doing maintenance and working on things. And, you know, they just felt like he was, you know, a little bit, you know, on site too often.
Micromanaging. He's doing his work, probably came out to be $3 an hour, but it's amazing the equity that he built over time. You know, mom and pop, motivated seller who's owned the property for many years. So you did what we call valuation through operation, not just renovation. It's an amazing thing. I mean, an 8-unit deal like this, I'm assuming it's probably going to cash flow between $200 and $300 per unit once it's stabilized. So another $1,500 to $2,000 in positive cash flow. What's your exit strategy on this deal, Matt?
This is going to be an indefinite long-term hold. So we're confident we can refi at least 55-60% of our original capital within 18 months to 2 years. We're definitely on target for that. So that's super exciting. And then after that, yeah, I'd like to hold it as long as possible.
Wow. And what's the difference once you join the Jake and Gino community? What has the difference been for you as far as networking, deal flow, confidence? Can you go over that real quick for us?
Absolutely. So this was a deal that I'd closed, you know, after joining the community, and it was the first deal I'd done since joining as well. So, you know, tremendous amount of learnings in that year. But for me, I think a couple things. I was able to identify my own skills and where I initially thought I was actually strong. It turns out that I'm not as strong in those areas. So for example, I actually thought I was a pretty strong underwriter coming into the program. And actually thought I was fairly, you know, poor capital raising. Turns out I'm actually not a great underwriter at all. I'm, you know, kind of intermediate, right? But I'm actually decent at capital raising. So, you know, there's been some times when I've needed to raise some capital, and I found it fairly easy to do. So that was huge. And how to look for partners has been a big thing for me as well. So, you know, when you meet someone at first, I always try to understand like where they're strong, and so they can complement my skills. In the past, I never even had that, you know, conceptually in my mind about when meeting people, you know, where do they fit in potentially future partner roles, right?
Yes.
And the other thing would be focus. I was, you know, just able from the coaching, was able to gain clarity on, you know, what my deal criteria should look like and how to hone in on my target markets. Because like I said, I was kind of all over the map with that.
That's a great segue into what is your buy criteria? What have you honed it down to? Because I know you've got 2 deals closing at the end of the year, the 24 unit and the 16 unit. What has that done for you as far as your confidence looking for those deals, being able to be focused? And sometimes it's much better to be able to say no quickly. That's the important thing. When you're an entrepreneur, if you've got 3 opportunities, if you can say no quickly to 2 of them and focus on 1, you're more likely to be successful. So your buy criteria, what are you focusing on now going forward?
Yeah, 100%. So up until this deal had closed, I was looking at between 20 and like 70 units. That was the kind of the goal. I've actually upped that. So for next year, I'm interested in going bigger. I'd like to be between 50 and 150. 1980s and newer. I'm going to stick with the markets I'm already in, which is the Tampa Bay market, Lakeland, and all down to Fort Myers. So those kind of, you know, those 3 areas. And there's a lot of submarkets all between there as well. And I'm in the area now with where we live. So I'm able to, you know, get in front of brokers. And that's going to be the strategy, is acquisitions, you know, on the front end. I enjoy doing the tours, getting in front of the brokers and, you know, The asset management piece I also enjoyed. In terms of the actual property, yeah, Florida's really important to have brick. I don't usually look for anything with wood frames. The insurance is kind of too high. You get the termite concerns and water damage and everything else. Predominant 2-1s, pitch roofs, and ideally central AC. That's definitely, you know, you can typically get a greater income rental with that, and then washer dryers as well is a big upside.
Matt, how long did it take you to develop that buyer's criteria? Because I think the first question that most students when they're considering joining a community is, I need to find a deal. That's all I need. And my pushback is, well, what is a deal to you? I mean, do you even have an idea of what a deal criteria is? When you go back and listen to what Matt just said, he listed out everything he's looking for. Washer dryer hookups is great. Central air, the markets themselves, the type of, you know, brick instead of wood. That's really important to what Matt is looking for. I challenge everybody on this call listening. Have you created buyer criteria? Do you even know what a deal is like to you? Do you have an exit strategy? Matt on this 8-unit has the exit strategy. He's going to refi and roll. So he bought this deal on the front end with community debt so he can go out. There's no prepayment penalty. There's no yield maintenance. And he can refi this deal after 18 months. These are a lot of the things that we teach at Jake and Gino. And a lot of the things that newer investors, they don't even think of, because I know I didn't. My first 25-unit deal didn't have an exit strategy, didn't have any criteria. I was just looking for a deal. Now Matt knows what a deal is for Matt. Everyone listening to this has to know what a deal is for you listening to this. Does that make sense, Matt?
Absolutely. That's huge. I mean, especially if you're going to be in front of brokers, you know, you cannot just call a broker and say, hey, I'm looking for a deal. Even if you have your market somewhat defined, you have to be able to give them information on the type of asset you want. Otherwise, you know, they're just not going to take you seriously. It's not like they're just going to send you everything they have. That doesn't happen. You know, that you're not going to come across professional unless you're dialed in on your criteria.
I love that. That's an excellent point. No one's asking you for proof of funds because you're already dialed in. So if before you call those brokers, make sure that you're prepared. Make sure that you have this criteria that you're looking for. You're going to sound really prepared and they're not going to hang up on you. Last question before we go to the short answers. How does it feel working in multifamily full-time? You know, actually living your dream. I mean, you've achieved the dream, but you're continuing to live every day this dream.
It feels amazing. Yeah. It's that, you know, definitely something that I try to always remain grateful every morning for, you know, the opportunity that, you know, I've been given in this life for sure. So I think it's important as well, because I had that such a big why at the start of this to exit the W-2. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to then, you know, have another why like built ready to go after that. Right. So I think that's been the initial challenge for me was to figure out, well, where do I go next? You know, because you have to have, you know, you have to figure out like what you're even doing this, right? What you're working towards. So that's been huge. But having the time back for the family and being able to come on trips like this, like I said, we're in the UK right now for a month, seeing my family, I would never be able to do that in the past. Typically, I'd be able to spend maybe 4 or 5 days and then I'd have to be back to, you know, back to W-2. So having that flexibility is amazing. And now it's just, you know, scaling up, and you know, honestly, the future for me is to be able to give back. I'd love to be able to educate people on how to, you know, kind of do what I've done, and anyone I meet, I kind of shout for the rooftops about real estate and, you know, earning money from not through the W-2 means.
So you used to live at State Marriott's for 100 days, and 5 of those 100, you'd be your vacation. Now it's flipverse. Now you're staying 30 days wherever you want to, whenever you want to. And that's the power of multifamily real estate. Matt, I lied. I'm going to give you one more long answer question. Because as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking there may be some listeners out there saying, I don't know where to start. Matt's great. Matt's done it. Josh has done it. Gino's done it. Jake has done it. But I haven't even started yet. How can I start? What do I need to do to get started on this journey?
I think first of all, you've got to figure out why you're wanting to do this in the first place, right? What is what is your major reason that you want to get out of the situation that you're in? So is it a job? You're in a location perhaps that's not working out? Whatever it is, figure out like, you know, what you're trying to get out of. And the reason, and it sounds simple, but the reason for that is because if you don't have that really clear, then you're not going to be able to take the discipline and have those consistent steps necessary to reach whatever that goal is. And you're not going to get there. You know, I'll tell you, I've hit some pretty big bumps and I've been investing in multifamily for 4 years now. And you know, there's some bumps in the road, and you have to be able to circle back around to figure out, well, why am I doing this, right? Because it's quite easy to say, oh man, this is super risky. I've lost some money. People are, you know, family and friends, you know, they think I'm crazy sometimes when I tell them about things that happen. And, you know, so being able to circle back around and say, no, this is the focus I have. This is the reason I'm doing it, and come back to that and allow you to, you know, reset and keep moving forward is critical.
I love that. What else?
I think, you know, the propelling you through those tough times is really the major thing. For sure. That's really the major thing I could say.
What I would say to add to that, when we first started out, that these are the mistakes that I made. I didn't really select the market. I mean, market selection is so important when you're first starting out. You have that clarity of where you wanted to go. I went to Knoxville just because Jake was there. I did it by default. So anybody listening to this, if you really want to get serious and get into multifamily, select a market that's going to work for you, not just on job and population growth, but is it, are you accessible to the market? Is it a market that you want to be in? Is it a market that's growing? These things that you need to focus on. And then ultimately for me, I created the Jake and Gino community to be surrounded and to have proximity with other students, because it's a constant growth. It's a constant evolution. We're constantly learning. 3 years ago, I didn't know what the three pillars of real estate were. I learned them: market cycle, debt, and exit strategy through the community. So it's a constantly being surrounded by others who are pushing you. And you want to be in a community where you're always reaching up, right? You always want to constantly be striving to get better. And that proximity to me is really key.
Mm-hmm. I will add to that. And it's about adding value to others as well. You know, mm-hmm. being, you know, real estate, I'm so passionate about it. If you're not passionate about this business or you know, or what this business can do for you,
yes,
then I would, you know, perhaps it's not a perfect fit, right? Mm-hmm. So I think figuring out, like, if this is the avenue that you're going to take to achieve that financial freedom, mm-hmm. and then once you've got that, you know, go after it. But you have to be a go-giver, give that value to others, and, you know, that you meet, because that comes back around, you know, for sure. It's super powerful.
I love that. Seek to serve instead mm-hmm. of give to get. Excellent. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created: buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, Matt, I got some short answer questions here for you. So early on in the episode, we talked about the FIRE movement. You know, there's really two ways to get rich. One is to cut expenses, and the other one is to increase your income. Which one would you say is the more powerful one to focus on, and why?
I would say expenses, actually, from our experience, mainly because cutting expenses is kind of like a tax-free pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, if you have to go after more income, you're going to paying the extra, you know, income tax on that, right? So for me, that was the strategy.
And then, so Josh, I can piggyback off of that. I that's what I ultimately did. The irony is, once you cut your expenses and you get your consumption down, what do you start doing? You start focusing on production, on producing more. And then all of a sudden, your income starts going up by default, because you're producing more, you're consuming less. And then what happens is, the average American, they produce more, they consume more, they produce more, they consume more. But people in multifamily, people in the Jake and Gino community, what I've noticed is they're producing more, they're buying more assets that were not really worth focusing on the consumption. It goes back into the production. It goes back into that snowball. It goes back into the cash flow. So when you think about it, you're cutting expenses initially to get out of, and that's what I did to become financially free. And then all of a sudden you're making more than your expenses. And then that snowball takes over 2 or 3 years. As Bill Hamm talked about, that conveyor belt, your assets start to matriculate, your cash flow starts to crystallize. And then all of a sudden you can increase those expenses, but it doesn't really make a difference because your income is increased exponentially. Does that make sense, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. All right, Matt, next question for you. So you work for the most prestigious car brand out there, Rolls Royce. Now, what would you say that you took away from how a business operates with that level of prestige?
So one of the main things, and I'm actually able to kind of carry this through to multifamily as well, is how to work with people. So I was actually responsible for quite a lot of customer relations as well So dealing with ultra net worth owners of these vehicles, you know, it's you have to be very sensitive and be a good communicator and be able to solve problems. And that's what multifamily real estate investing, for that matter, is all about. It's problem solving. So coming from a technical background and moving into a customer relations field, you're not just fixing their car, you're fixing the customer as well. So and really the customer comes first. And I think that's where the property investing is most relevant, because you are solving a problem for not only the owner that you're purchasing the property from, but also those residents, that you're now responsible for as a new owner.
That's a great answer, Josh. I love that answer.
Yeah, I love that as well. All right. What about best habit for success?
So I have just give you a shout out here. This is my daily planner. And I basically go through that religiously every morning, and it allows me to map out my day. I do the Miracle Morning a little bit as well, which is, I know a popular method for being effective in the morning. So that's really my main habits, is to get up early, go through my planner, visualize. I have a vision board. That stuff works. Stuff on my vision board has happened. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, I like that. All right. So there's been some really big takeaways in this episode. For me, it's about having clarity on what you're looking to achieve and why you want that. And then also being prepared, right? Standing out in a crowded market, and that preparation gets results. Gino, what do you have to add to that?
Josh, what I think is cool about this podcast and the show is that Matt could have been successful and happy staying at X amount of units and being content. And instead he selected and he chose to invest himself, join the Jake and Gino community. And then all of a sudden that investment's flourished into an 8-unit deal. It's flourishing to another 40 units by the end of this year. And he's refining and honing his skills. And it's a constant growth and evolution. He didn't have the clarity. He didn't have the focus before joining. He didn't have the network. He actually thought he was a great underwriter and a crappy capital raiser. It's just the flip opposite of it. And that's what happens when you work on yourself and you focus on yourself. And I think, Josh, the last thing I'll say is the planner works. We had the podcast with Neri this morning. And, spend your time focused on what you value. If you can plan your day out on what your values are, you're going to be very, very effective with your time. And if you work on that every day and plan it out, stuff doesn't happen to you. You happen to stuff. You really take control of your day. You get on those broker calls. You're able to do those property tours. You're able to also relax and enjoy your day. Block out some time throughout the day to enjoy and to cherish it. So when you're doing work, you're doing work. And when you're playing, you're playing. And that planner, has revolutionized Jake's life completely. And for myself, it's done wonders for myself as well.
Love it. Matt, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, so email, phone. Email is matthew@rightmoveproperties.net. And then my cell phone number is 941-504-0548. And I'm on Facebook as Matt Dunn. And then I'm pretty active on LinkedIn as well as Matthew Dunn.
Well, listen, Matt, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing the Movers and Shakers story. Now, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.